The church gathers and clusters these texts that we have this morning to get us ready for the celebration. This first text we've had a couple of times. We just had it last Sunday. And then we have this proclamation of Zechariah, who prophesied. Now, if you take the word in its broad sense, this whole thing is prophecy, not just the part over his son John. The whole thing is prophecy because it's inspired word of God. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. That would be, you know, Baruch Adonai. You know, blessed Adonai. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. The only one who knew him. You see, he had to choose a people and reveal his name and keep them faithful to himself. And that meant chastising them and sending prophets and promising. Finally came the Messiah. So this is Zechariah, like Mary, singing. This time of salvation, he has come to his people and set them free. He's raised up for us a mighty Savior, born according to his promise of the house of his servant David. You hear right here where it says now, David, you want to build me a house? I build you a house. I'm God. And so I'll build you a house that will last forever. Forever. Now there's a great tribute to the faith of God's people. Because after the exile, there was no Davidic king. Somewhere in there, somebody composed Psalm 89. The whole first part, you promised, you know, he would shine like the sun, he would be as stable as the moon, his crown would be, and then, but you've rejected us. You've been false to us. We have no king. This is a psalm. This is the word of God addressed to God. Look what you've done. You know, we're humiliated. You know, we have no king. I thought you said, you promised that it was going to last forever and ever. And it didn't. But the great ones hung on. God, you promised, you will come through. So they went for centuries with men like Simeon, who awaited the consolation of Israel and knew that God would be faithful to his people. You see, and that's why Zechariah sings, you see. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. The great saints hung in there. You promised God, and you're God, and you love us. And so, no matter what, I believe you. I don't know why it comes to me, but the very famous evangelical preacher, Pentecostal maybe, Smith Wigglesworth, And he prayed over this woman, had a huge growth on her neck. And he said, you're healed. She said, praise God. So she came back a year later to bear witness. And this whole thing was still there. And she was praising God for this healing. And they said, hey, look. And so she said, Lord, for the sake of their weak faith, let it be manifest. And poof, the thing disappeared. Some people can believe like that. That's normal. Isn't this what Elizabeth said to Mary? Blessed are you who believed. I mean, think of it. You, a as a virgin, are going to conceive and bear a son who will be of the house of David, and he will be great and called the Son of the Most High. Mary said, Amen. That's why the first beatitude in the Bible, right, in the Gospel says, Elizabeth saying to her, Blessed is she who believed. So, it's funny that they do this for us now, when in a few hours we're going to celebrate mystically, liturgically, the new presence of Christ. But it's to say, I promised, I will be there. So he's singing, huh? And he goes back, through his prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy, hesed, fidelity, right, to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. Which one? The one that starts with Abraham. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham. What about Abraham's faith? Waited, waited, waited. Finally he has his son. And there, in that boy in front of him, is the concrete realization of the fidelity to the promise. God says, offer him up. Faith. God, then it says, you know, God reasoned. He reasoned, God could reason from the dead. Take your son, your beloved, your only, and offer him up at a place I'll show you. God didn't make it easy. He didn't say, take Isaac and take your son, your only begotten, your beloved. And, you know, see, God plays hardball. He wants us to grow up. He is God, you know. And so, he swore this oath to set us free from the hand of our enemies so that we can improve the GNP. No, no. Why? Free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight. That's what it's for. When they got there, you know, for a long time we had a bunch of fellows trying to say, you know, that liberation theology is founded in the Exodus. I can still remember we had this very bright, engaging Jewish scholar come to our meeting. He was supposed to debate with a guy, but the other guy didn't show up. So it was, you know, why did God free us as a people to worship him? Not to fill the grocery store, you know, to worship him. Free. To worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. Give us peace. Give us firm family life. Give us brethren so that we can worship you without fear all the days of our life and obey you. And then comes the prophecy. But that's all prophecy already. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, the greatest, the one who sums up all Israel's prophecy. And there's two who sum up all Israel's prophecy, right? Who's the other one? Mary. Israel gave the world its Savior in and through Mary. And so, in the Eastern Rite, you go and there's two doors in front of the altar, you know, there's, and John the Baptist is on one and Our Lady is on the other one. See, to give his people knowledge of salvation, you want to know how? By the forgiveness of their sins. Not gorgeous. Knowledge of salvation. And this is all, as this translation, the tender compassion of our God. He promised all this. And now it's here. Zechariah, you see, had 9 months to think. And every day, not talk. To remind him, God spoke to you, Zechariah. God promised something to you. So he had plenty of time to come, you know, to repent. And finally he says that, you see, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, the whole darn human race, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. You want to have peace? Follow God's direction. And you'll have peace. I know, but my neighbor's throwing rocks at me around that. You'll have peace. Because you will be joined to God. What a beautiful song. And it's all, you see, he has raised up a mighty Savior, born in the house of his servant David. And the Lord says to hear, you know, the Lord also reveals to you, says Nathan, that he will establish a house for you. The house of David. And it will be eternal. And where is the Son of David? On the throne with the Father. So that's kind of why the church in this day, we're all thinking about tonight, says, well, stop and think now. What happened? For 1,000 years, God prepared a people. And in that whole preparation, which took her father, her mother, her grandmother, all the saints, all the sinners in her family and in Israel to produce Mary. And from her is born the Christ.